Counterspin Media's Truthathon Part 8, Operation Good Oil, with Gabriel Thompson, Daniel Rurish, and Carl Barkley.
Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour Truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
Our next topic that we want to cover is the attempt of the globalists to get rid of oil. And as a response to that, a group has started. They're called Operation Good Oil. Operation Good Oil is an information and awareness campaign which is made up of a dedicated team of concerned Kiwis who seek to bring the truth of New Zealand's current looming energy crisis into the light of day. Now, they are also part of a group called CAFES, which is the Collective Action for Energy Sustainability. We will be talking to three of the people that are running this campaign. Firstly, we are going to talk to Gabriel Tamihana. Gabriel Thompson. And then Daniel Rurick will come on. And finally, Carl Barkley will come on as well. So, Gabriel, she is a proud mother of five. She's an advocate on behalf of the people since 2011, leading protests against suicide, 1080, child trafficking, and she was also a big part of the convoy in 2022. And we've got a wee little video that we want to play that she has sent through. She's also helping with this Marsden Point oil refinery to get it back up and running. So let's play that video. She's a co-founder of Operation Good Oil and CAFES. Let's play the video now.
It's not just Canada protesting mandates, New Zealand is as well. Over 400 cars, trucks and vans, as well as motorcycles, are parked in front of the Parliament building. The crowds there are calling for an end to the coronavirus restrictions, vaccine mandates, as well as rules that have effectively locked down the country. Yes, the Prime Minister of New Zealand making it very clear there are, under her watch, two classes of citizens, those who are willing to be injected by the government and those who are not. Earlier this year, we told you about New Zealand and their green light system. One of the freest countries in the world, New Zealand, has actually become one of the most tyrannical and authoritarian countries during the pandemic. But I'll tell you something very interesting here. It's almost impossible to find video of them on social media. Why? Well, is it because they're afraid that what started in Canada about 8,000 miles from Wellington, New Zealand, has already spread there? And if it continues to spread, pretty soon, every democracy in the world will be demanding to become a democracy once again.
Now, first up, as Hannah alluded to previously, was Gabriel Thompson, and I must just go back and say Operation Good Oil was part of the digging at Marsden that was taking place, that I saw the place occupied for over 200 days. These dedicated people, day in and day out, were there trying to alert New Zealanders that your energy security and sustainability is under attack, extreme attack from the globalists for this net carbon zero rubbish. And of course, you are a carbon-based life form, and you're the net carbon that they need to get to after your removal. So, and that's all going to become apparent. We've already started showing you all the actual laws that are in place to enable this, the UN agendas that are actually written down in black and white, and how no nation is going to be able to opt out. You are going to have to be the people who collectively come together to stamp it out once and for all. So, Gabriel, thanks for coming on. If you've got any statement to read straight up front, just give us a quick synopsis of Operation Good Oil and why CAFES.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin, and thanks, Hannah. I just want to say thank you both for having us here. It's a huge privilege and an honour to represent, hopefully, our nation proudly. I also just wanted to reiterate what you said about the dig-in camp being down at Marsden Point for so long. As we know, Remy and Violet were two big parts of that camp, and they have since passed. So we are dedicating this move to them both, and I hope we make them proud also. So who are we? We are Operation Good Oil, an initiative founded by four people in 2022. So myself, Jason Bainbridge, Levi Wolf, and Daniel Rurick. We were all involved in the original convoy, obviously, that happened here in 2022. After being raided, because that's what happened on March the 2nd, 2022, we regrouped for the initial move to convoy to Marsden Point Oil Refinery. And the refinery then was previously closed on the 1st of April 2022. But we arrived via convoy to Marsden Point Oil Refinery on April 10th, 2023, but were met literally by 30 police officers at the gate. So it sort of stopped our entry straight away. We had a contingency of about 150 to 200 people from the start, and there was witnessed to be 300 to 400 people come through that very day. So from organising the convoy, I guess it led to the occupation of Parliament grounds, from February 8th to March 2nd, 2022. We then went on to organise what was supposed to be the occupation of Marsden Point Oil Refinery. By then, we had experience behind us. Of course, Levi Wolfe being the head of food support at Wellington Occupation, he was able to provide resources from that occupation if we had successfully occupied Marsden Point Oil Refinery. But from then, we regrouped again and for the past 2 years have been Operation Good Oil. So, So since then, like you said, we've been doing awareness campaigns mostly, but we have also organised on-ground action to protest against the closure of Marsden Point. So one of the protests we did in conjunction with a UK group. So at the time, we called it Stand Up to Fuel Prices NZ-wide, and this was at a time in July 2022 where New Zealand saw the highest price in fuel, which was $3.16 per litre. And this was only about 3 months after the refinery had closed. So, you know, there's a bit of mishap happening there. It wasn't a coincidence. And then on April 1st, 2022, the same day as the closure of the refinery, the government conveniently introduced a 25 cents per litre of fuel for 3 months. So I believe this was purposeful, of course, in diverting attention away from the fact that they had closed the refinery. It is also notable that Channel Infrastructure ran every last drop of oil and a tanker through the refinery before shutting it down. So sold that fuel at top dollar post-closure.
She's got it confused.
Our second protest action was in conjunction with the Global Freedom Movement. This was fun for me. I love on-ground action, but at the time we had about 14 cities joining in. So it was standing protests, marches, and of course convoys. I was working in conjunction with the Auckland coordinator, Richard Eplin, so a big shout out to you, Richie. And it saw us pull off a move that gained national and international attention. Of course, if you watch the videos back, you would have seen freedom and rights on one side of the motorway, and we were slow rolling on the other. So it was a great impact just for our country alone to see that. And it went international, which made us all proud, I think. But the moment Good Oil is now following up on is a notice of demand served physically to Naomi James. She was then the CEO of Channel Infrastructure NZ Limited, and Kyle Barkley served that notice on behalf. So, yeah, we're now following through with that notice, Calvin and Hannah, and with all the actions coming up.
Well, you guys are doing a fantastic job, I must admit. And again, energy independence for this country, because we have we are sitting literally floating on a mountain of oil that requires little refining. We could be energy independent for centuries with what we've got, but of course that's not part of the global plan. What they want is to get oil from the Middle East, so every time they stir up trouble over there and put one against the other, they can raise the prices and say, you know, there's going to be what is it? A scarcity of oil if you don't start paying enormous prices, which is just the way it goes. Of course, Carl will be able to, when Carl comes on, he'll be able to tell us a bit more about that too.
Thank you.
So what we'll do, and that's actually a good roundup too. And I notice you've actually, in your bio, you've done a lot of action, and we commend you for that, because believe me, there's few people out there willing to put their boots on the ground, get out there and actually get it done. Got a lot of people online, being keyboard warriors, saying someone's got to do something, but there's only a few who are actually doing something. It's like, you know, because if anyone follows our Telegram chats, we always, there's a distinction for us between plastic Christians and real Christians. The plastic ones are waiting for someone to save them. The real Christians are saying, we've got to save ourselves. We've got to use our own agency. And so that's what happens. So that's very commendable. So thanks for that, Gabriel. You guys are legends. I'll bring on Daniel next. And Daniel can fill us in on his part, because I think he'll be a good one to talk to as well. And Daniel is a 51-year-old Wellingtonian. Hope you don't mind me dropping a bomb on your age there. You can give her the month and your date.
You're even older than him.
Just yeah, but I'm prettier, as everyone will see soon. And throw me off my stride. He works in IT. Actually, we can talk about it after this because we've got a struggling tech guy we've got in the basement. We throw a chop every now and then. Who's got to do the job of 10 guys. So maybe we can lock you in with him. And if you don't kill each other, you can actually get some good stuff happening there. So you specialise in Linux and open source software. You ran as a candidate for the Conservative Party 2020. Ran for the City Council in 2024. Your kids are all totally unjabbed for their entire lives. Legend. And your wife is a theatre nurse who was mandated out of her job. And the best part about that is she stuck to her principles. Again, another one who wouldn't sell themselves out for cash. So you're another exemplary example of people who are actually physically doing something rather than just moaning their guts out and talking about it. So thanks for coming on, Daniel. Give us your position in cafes or Operation Good Oil and where you're up to right at this point in time with your action.
Yeah, actually, I want to go back and just discuss something that we did in October 2022, which was the release of the Operation Good Oil first summary report. This report was about the immediate impacts of the shutdown of the refinery as they were deduced at that time, as well as an assessment of some of the missteps and driving factors causing the decision to shut down the refinery. You can find that report still on the Operation Good Oil website. There's a couple of interesting notes and really updates to that. The report contained a prediction that fuel prices were going to hit $4 a litre for 91 octane petrol. And actually, that pretty well happened. We got pretty close in Wellington here. I know that we were over $3.70. In Auckland, I believe it actually did get to $3.99. Thankfully, that wasn't sustained as the report suspected it would be. We do know why. The hike in fuel prices was actually caused largely by a shortage of refinery capacity just post the COVID 2020 COVID lockdowns, and it took a while for them to get back up and running. There were a lot of refineries that were shut down during that, and it was a really interesting challenge that was brought to the industry. Following on from that, and as a part of that, if the refinery had been running for all of 2022, we would not have seen those price hikes, because the refinery, in its contracts with the fuel companies, were limited to a maximum gross refining margin of $9 USD per barrel of oil. So that would have kept our fuel prices, our 91 petrol prices, down below $3, and our diesel probably below $2.50, which would have been a great help to the country, which would have knocked back a lot of the inflation that we've inflationary pressure we've had as well. Following on from that, predictions that there were going to be problems with quality of the fuel has actually come true. The report sort of talked about the risks associated with that, and we've had at least three separate incidences where dirty fuel came through to the airports and resulted in disruptions to air travel, two in Auckland and one in Wellington. As part of that, the bigger picture as well, it's not well known, but Trading Standards, which is a subsidiary of MBIE, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, actually do fuel quality monitoring, and they do a yearly report. What's really interesting is the 2022-2023 period report is not yet available, and I've asked them for that. And why is it not available? One wonders.
Yeah, well, it probably shows a dire a dire problem, because we know our roads are crap, but we repair them every second day, because the bitumix they're using, of course, is substandard, because, the like I said, the decimation of the oil. And we are, they always, at any one time, what, nine, or Carl will be able to bring this up, 9 to 20 days away from completely being out of fuel in the country. So that's again, problematic. And any country that wants to blockade us, if we don't bow to the whim of some globalist, we're toast. But luckily, Kiwi ingenuity would always shine on through. So that's good. Oh, well, but I must also acknowledge to people out there that there was another group called the Digging at Marsden. Now, they did a good job as well, despite there was a bit of animosity between the groups. But I must say that the Good Oil, Operation Good Oil team, they did do fantastic reports. They were always up to date on their documents. You always knew where they were at any given time. It was actually very, very good. But, and all those other people who were at the Digging at Marsden, there, I commend you all as well. True people out there, like I said, rain, hail, snow or shine, in extreme weather conditions, still trying to stand up for the people. At first they started getting knockbacks, and then all of a sudden people started realizing what was going on, and the support started to grow. And that there, to me, is what really matters at the end of the day. So I appreciate that, Daniel, and like I said, we'll talk about accosting you and throwing you in the basement with our single tech that does the job of five men. We'll pay you as much as we pay him. You'll get an extra zero on the end of every check. At the end of every week, you'll start off at zero, of course, and you'll just have a whole line of zeros. So you'll be rich and nothing.
God, like all of us.
Like, well, yeah, we're sort of training to be government agents. So first thing we have to do is make you broke and destitute, okay? And then we can subjugate you, and you can bend to our will. That's exactly what's going on. Let's face it.
Yeah, it is.
It's a tongue in cheek. Definitely. But true. Sadly, except we're not the government agents. They're actually trying to lock us up.
Yeah. There's a... Yeah, it's really interesting, just the report, the things that were predicted in the reports. You know, we've had fuel shortages down the bottom of the South Island and Bluff, where they've actually had to truck fuel from other ports simply because, you know, they didn't have enough ships actually getting there with fuel to supply them. It's these things. You know, 18 to 21 days of fuel stock in the country at any time, according to Shane Jones the other day. Yeah, was talking about it in Question Time in Parliament. You know, and 18 to 21 days for a ship to get from the refineries in Asia to New Zealand. You know, 6 days from Australia, but Australia have two refineries, and they're just as reliant as we are on importing their fuel as well. So, you know, sort of this part of the world is severely, you know, sort of under a threat if we have any kind of disruption to the shipping of the fuel.
Yep, exactly right. So thanks very much for coming on, Daniel. Like I said, we will talk to you later.
Awesome.
We'll bring in Carl Barkley next. Carl will be able to tell us the ins and outs of what he's been doing lately. He's been to the top of the country, bottom of the country, width and breadth, all over the place in his van, which doubles as not only his little mobile home, but as also his office. And he eats, sleeps, and breathes this stuff because he's determined to do something about it. In fact, he's one of the ones going after Channel Infrastructure. He led the campaign on getting shares to bring back public ownership of the company, or basically dominating the shareholding in Channel Infrastructure to try and get that refinery reinstated. So, Carl, thanks for coming, and let us know what your percentage of shareholding is now in public hands, not the institutions, but the public's hands, and how successful do you think you're being at the moment? What sort of impact you're having?
Thank you, Alvin and Hannah, for the opportunity. I'll just show you the side of my van. This is my banner, the latest one I've got done up. This is the shareholder where you can go on to Sharesies, and for as small amount as $10 or $20, you can buy some shares. My contact details are there. I've been on the road doing this campaign since April Fool's Day last year. So on Monday, it'll be 12 months, and that's 2 years since it closed. Well, it didn't actually close on April Fool's Day. What happened on April Fool's Day, they stopped the importation of the crude oil. So there wasn't any more crude oil coming because crude ship lasted 11 days. So they had enough oil there to finish off. And so the all of April and all of May was a process called the big cleanup. And that was normally done when the refinery was going to be shut down for a major maintenance program, which happened every 4 to 5 years. So the name changed on April Fool's Day, and it became a fuel-only terminal, not a crude oil terminal anymore. So the fuel was starting to arrive, or probably arrived before that to get their stocks up. So on the 30th of May, that's the actual day the switch was switched off, and we were at Marsden Point to meet the last of the night crew that had done the last of the wash-up, and they turned off all the boilers and all the main switches were turned off by a couple of fellas. And we had a few drinks with them 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning at the information centre there at Marsden Point. And then that afternoon, we'd gone over to the bar down the road. As you're coming into Marsden Point, there's a cafe bar there, and they were celebrating their farewell, and we were celebrating 58 years of Marsden Point. So I told them at that I'll go back in my van. I told them at that event that I'll try and get the face back into it. I told them at that event that in 2 years' time will be the 60th anniversary, and we'll be making an announcement. So I'm looking forward to the 30th of May this year. If you get me into the onto the board of directors on the 30th of April, is the AGM for Channel Infrastructure. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be presenting them with a proposal that they stop destroying the place, and they engage a qualified refinery engineering firm that will go in and work out what's been damaged and what sort of costings and time frame it's going to cost to repair what they've damaged and get the oil refinery operational again as soon as possible. So that's got about a six month time frame for them to achieve that information, and then I think it was 25 working days they've got to get it out to all the shareholders. So there'll be another special meeting when the shareholders are told what the condition of the place is, and roughly there'll only be an estimate at this stage of what it will cost to get the refinery going again. To build a new refinery similar size cost Iraq, I think it was $6 billion 2 years ago. So we're looking at, if they want to build a new one, $6 billion, repair that one, maybe $1 billion, maybe less, hopefully it's less. I know that a lot of electrical gear and control rooms have been smashed up, but as far as the major plant goes, that's still there until such time as the 1,400-ton crane arrives, supposed to be in March, that was supposed to be starting to appear. It's a big crane. It's going to take probably a month to assemble when it does arrive. But there's also another contracting firm in the background from Whangarei. They're supposed to be destroying 30 of the storage tanks on site at Marsden Point, so we also need to stop them. I challenge Winston Peters and Shane Jones to step up and actually do that themselves leading up to the 30th of April, because they should have a lot more power than what we've got as politicians, and if they're true to their word and they want to save their refinery, they need to stop what's happening now and let us have this inquiry through a consulting engineer, not just an in-house government thing that's just going to be a whitewash, and time they've finished, the place will be a vacant bit of land with grass growing. So that's basically what I've got to say.
I was going to ask you if you had any political backing, because as we know, the part of the globalist plan is to shut down energy sectors and make you all go green. And with that, of course, comes its own toxicity with things that they can't recycle, lithium batteries, all that type of thing. And we know, like you say, every inquiry we've ever had in this country has been a complete whitewash, a placeholder to allow time to run out while the other things are implemented to a point they can't do anything about it anyway. It's just textbook textbook stuff. That's why your actions of boots on the ground actually doing something. And the fact that you've encouraged everyone to take the majority shareholding, and if because the shareholders are ultimately, because a lot of people may not know this, shareholders are the ones who ultimately own the company. They appoint a board of directors who then ensures that they adhere to the constitution and the overall well-being of the company, and your CEOs and your management, company management, are the ones who run the day-to-day operations, but again, always subject to the board. So the if you can get on the board and then have a voice, and that'll be good. Of course, we've had questions asked about, okay, but what about the land lease? Is anyone coming in to try and take that? What about the resource consent? Because if it's part of a government plan where you're not going to get that thing back on, it'll take the resource consent issued by government in order for you to be able to function and bring other things in. So this, these are sorts of things no doubt you've already talked about. What I want to do is explore this topic into greater detail, but we haven't got time at the moment. But we will get you guys back on, because I want to actually go through this tooth and nail. I want to go every bit into this so people get a full grasp of what will happen if they let this energy situation spiral out of control and deprive us of what we should be, which is energy independent from anyone else. So we appreciate you coming on.
There's a 35
any last things?
There's a 35-year consent on that. It's been renewed just recently. And as far as the fuel supply goes, we've got about 8 days in this country. The 24 days they talk about, most of that's in a ship out at sea. It's not even in New Zealand waters. So we can run out very, very quickly if something happens overseas.
Yeah, and like I said, in the Middle East, if a bloody rodent farts in the desert, they're raising the prices here. So appreciate that, guys. Like I said, we'll get you back on. Good luck with the shareholding. I know you guys are in control now. If you can get the shareholders together, I know there are restrictions they've tried to place on you to contact the other shareholders to form an organized resistance. I think you'll find that would be illegal on their part anyway. I don't think they'll actually get away with that. You are allowed to speak to people with mutual interest, and this is a national security issue and something that we really need to explore more. So thanks, guys. We will get back to you again. Coming up next, of course, we will have
do they have a website? Do they copy
want to
say the website?
Operation Good Oil.
Quickly.
We'll have to bring you back on because we'll have to.
Oh, no, yeah, Carl's going to have to do it. Sorry, Gabriel.
Carl, website.
Yeah, operationgoodoil.co.nz.
Okay, cool. Thanks, guys. We're going to have to cut it there because we're blowing past. We're 10 minutes over time now. So thanks so much for coming on. Have you guys on again soon.
And you did good despite all of the issues.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with it.
You are watching Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution. The platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com.
Ever since the time I brought Think Big into the New Zealand political landscape, there has been a dire need for the media to provide full scrutiny of what politicians say and do. Unfortunately, the New Zealand media has become corrupted by these politicians as well as foreign special interest funding. So, and now more than ever, there is a great need for an independent media to scrutinize the government and their bought and paid for media and untangle their lies and webs of deceit. That's why Counterspin Media was born, and you can now see and hear them at counterspinmedia.com. And I encourage you all to donate bigly.
Are you enjoying this 12-hour Truthathon presentation? Do you believe in the importance of Counterspin Media's mission to expose falsehoods and deliver evidence-based factual content? You see, never before in history has it been so important to support a media organisation that is fighting for your freedoms, fighting for your freedom of speech, but also who refuses to be influenced by false narratives. Your donation will help keep them independent, and it's very costly to make such quality content. Please look at their website. There's a number of ways that you can donate, and together we can combat false information. Because you see, at Counterspin is where lies die, but truth prevails.
Keep checking back on counterspinmedia.com and look under the videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.